I've been all across this country.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. It is the Wind Column Sports Network. I am Kyle Shaw, a.k.a. the Canadian Goose. And this is Monday Night Shaw you're listening to. And this is British Columbia Wrestling Month here on the show. And on the show tonight, I have a special guest, one of the promoters from British Columbia, I believe also Ontario. It is Eddie Osborne. Eddie, how are you, brother?
How's it going, man? It is definitely Ontario and British Columbia for 365 Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, that's solid. I mean, you guys used to be called PWA, right?
Yeah, we were PWA Canada for a long, long time, for 14 years, and then I decided it's time to make a change.
Oh, okay. I was worried that maybe Kurt Sorokin tried to sue you or something.
No. We've worked, I've never talked with Kurt much at all. But we've always been very respectful of each other.
Yeah, no, that was totally a joke. Because like my podcast is primarily based out of Alberta, and of course we do have our own PWA here, which is run by the aforementioned Kurt Sorokin, who, I'll be totally honest, I haven't had like a lot of conversations with Kurt or at all either. I mean, I've met him once or twice, but you know, I've never really. I mean, I have another place that I wrestle, so I don't really need to talk to Kurt that much. Not that I would be opposed to it. I'd love to have him on the podcast, but let's talk about your iteration of the PWA. Where and when did that start up, bud?
It started up in Goderich, Ontario. We had our first ever event on July 22nd, 2005. So quite a while ago now.
Yeah, that is 15 years ago.
Yes.
And so how did it, because it is, like I say, it is out in Ontario and in on Vancouver Island, British Columbia. So, like, how did you manage to have the same promotion but run in two different, completely different provinces?
Very good friends and staff members. That's the only way it could work. But we started out in Ontario, and I lived in Ontario at that point. And we made it out of necessity. There wasn't a lot of promotions at that time. There was a very strong athletics commission. And a lot of guys weren't wrestling. So I decided when I was still training, but I wanted to get something going. And that's what I did. So I did that thing for many, many, many years. And then I moved back to Ontario to BC in 2013. And I have some good guys in place in Ontario. Lenny Lilock, Eazy-E, Eric Kearney, Jeff Black, and plenty of other people there who helped me out a ton, Joey Allen. And when I moved here, I just started doing most of the stuff here. And then there's such a great support team here as well. So with Nolan James, Havico, everybody.
Do you travel back and forth between these two? Like, do you work both the shows in Ontario and the ones in BC?
As much wrestling? As possible. It doesn't always happen, but as much as possible.
Like, I'm just curious what the logistics of that look like. Do you fly out, or do you like get a carload of your guys to? Okay,
it just takes too much time if you're not flying.
So oh yeah, no.
I drive try and piggyback with another company and fly my butt out there, or maybe like Judas Icarus has come a couple times and Nolan just came, so. Or I try and get it done that way, so another promotion will use them a couple times or myself a couple times, and then it just saves the price of the ticket a little bit.
Solid. And then you guys recently just, like you say, you changed it up to 365 Wrestling. What was the impetus for that maneuver?
It was just I needed to re-challenge myself again. I got very complacent. PWA has been PWA for 14-plus years. And I felt I was just taking everything for granted, not working as hard as I should be. And I figured if I changed the name to something maybe a little more relevant to today's era, because we were the Pure Wrestling Association, and that was very Ring of Honor-like back in the day. And I wanted to kind of upgrade it a bit or update it a bit. And this world now is 365. So I just mentioned it to a buddy. I'm like, hey, what do you think about this name? He's like, I love it. That's a cool name. And he just thought I was going to make a website or something. I'm like, no, I'm going to change the name of our promotion. And everyone supported me. Not everyone agreed with me, but they all supported my decision. And here we are now.
Okay, cool. So, Yeah, because, like, I mean, just, like, as far as I'm concerned, like, I don't know you and whatnot, and I'm not really familiar with the ins and outs of it, but, like, just as somebody in Alberta who clearly there already is a well-established version of the PWA here, like, back before I kind of learned a little bit more about it, I was like, okay, so is there a PWA in every province? Is PWA, like, the Canadian version of the NWA? Like, I like how you've kind of decided to stand out. And I mean, it's got to be a bit rough and, like, daunting to go full bore and just be like, okay, we're going to completely abandon the identity we've already created for ourselves in the effort to create a new identity for ourselves. But you know what I mean?
For sure. I mean, that was the biggest fear, is maybe people wouldn't recognize our name when we go on postering and stuff, but we have such a loyal fan base that they support our growth. So the big things were not as scary as I thought with the fans. It was just changing over belts and banners and ring skirts and trying to make it look different from just aesthetically pleasingly, and changing belts, buying 5 new belts and getting rid of our old ones that all had all the history. So that was the biggest part. And then trying to change up the roster a little bit as well.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot of cost associated with a complete rebrand. I mean, over here in RCW, Real Canadian Wrestling, where I wrestle, we actually, right before COVID-19 hit, Squig, the promoter, he ordered all brand new belts. And we created a new logo and everything. And right when they were, like, the show before they were about to debut is when they canceled everything. And so, in fact, right now, I'm one of, like, the tag team champions. And I have yet to see the new tag team championship belt because we never got to the show where we switched them out. So I've still got the old one sitting here, but we haven't got the new one yet. And it's an expensive endeavor for sure. You know what I mean?
And we were hoping to crown our champion at the event just before everything got banned and shut down. So we were a new company. I just switched over and this happens. We have no wrestling for months on months. And we have no champions now, so that kind of sucks to, like, be starting and be like, here we are, and being shut down. But what we're doing to, like, kind of stay relevant is I have a ton of old PWA footage that was on VHS, and we're getting it converted by Elian digitally, so now I can put it up on our YouTube channel. And we got, like, 1,200 videos up there now.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of cool. Like, every day we're putting out basically a full event. And that's what's keeping us 365 all the time. We got pro wrestling, like, being put out there, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, I've definitely, like, I've seen your Instagram, and sometimes it's like, oh, wow, this guy posted, like, 30 Instagram posts today.
It's true.
Go for it.
I was going to say, sometimes I feel like it's annoying as hell, but then I feel like sometimes fans dig it, or they don't see the first 28 of them. So it's kind of something I'm working with to see if we're gaining people on our Instagram or if we're losing people because there's too much posting.
Yeah, no, I wasn't trying to imply that it was obnoxious or anything. I mean, as far as I'm, like, it's usually pictures of different people and stuff, and
for sure
it's always good stuff. As far as you yourself goes, like, how COVID has affected you, like, not only are you a wrestler, but, like, you're a promoter. Primarily, you guys in BC anyway, where do you usually run the shows? Like, I know VIPW has kind of got a hold on the island there as well, and you guys are kind of running in conjunction with each other. But, I've seen most of the shows out there, the ones I'm aware of, have been branded as VIPW shows. Where does the 365 and PWA shows typically run on the island?
We're just starting to do some stuff in Victoria. We're in Duncan. We do the Nanaimo Vancouver Island exhibition every year. And then we do Campbell River, Courtney, and then random towns. So we're very small towns here on the island. VIPW runs Victoria, Langford, and they also run Nanaimo. So they got the big hubs, and we're just kind of everywhere else.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's hard to explain to the people out here in Alberta, but, like, me, I was born in Campbell River. And I lived on Vancouver Island, like, pretty much my whole life. I've driven that island, you know, tons of times from Victoria to Campbell River, more times than I can like even count, right? So I've been to Duncan and Nanaimo and Courtney and Cumberland and all these small little towns all over the place there. So it's cool to hear that those guys are getting wrestling, because for a long time, British Columbia and Victoria especially was kind of like, I mean, guys will say that Alberta is kind of the like unreachable part of Canada as far as wrestling goes, but Victoria and BC's got to be even more isolated, you know?
For sure, but now I think wrestling is on a huge boom, and the Pacific Northwest is on fire. With all the big ballroom shows, you got Defy as well. You got some stuff happening in like WAC, and then all ECCW, and VIPW is killing it like big time. So there's such a great group of stuff going on here. And then in the interior, you got Big West. So, like, wrestling right now is well represented in British Columbia. So it's just on the upswing. And I was wondering, when were you born in Campbell River? Like, I'm also born from Campbell River. I lived here my first 18 years before I moved to Ontario. But did our paths cross much?
I was born in Campbell River in 1984. Yes, I am that old. But we actually, as far as paths crossing, before I got into the business as like a performer or anything, I would sort of just help out at shows and stuff. Yep. And so I helped out at a few of the VCW shows that were, or VIPW shows in Victoria. Also VCW. I helped out with those.
That's sweet.
And there was ECCW. I helped at a show for them at the rugby club there in Victoria. And I'm pretty sure the last VIPW show I went to, I'm pretty sure I gave you like a whole spool of bootleg wrestling DVDs.
Beautiful.
I was trying to sell them at the show, but the guy, I think it was BJ or Cremator was like, yeah, we're not allowed to sell like burnt DVDs, Kyle. Cause I was just going to sell like the whole spool. And I think you were like, here's $20. And I was like, okay, here you go, bud. And
great action for me.
Oh, 100%. Like, and I mean, I was just trying to get rid of them cause I was moving to Alberta. So
nice.
It was a kind of a win-win situation, and everybody I met, like helping at the shows, like just working the music or whatever, was a solid human being, and I'm really like, I'm actually really hoping that one day I can go out there and wrestle for VIPW. You know, like I got a lot of friends and family on the island, and they all want to see me wrestle, but I don't think RCW is going to be making any shows out that way. You know what I mean?
Well, wrestling for VIPW or coming up on the island, when people come out from out of town, we try our best to get them on shows, both companies. So, but I think it's cool that you're a Campbell River guy doing pro wrestling, because there's not too many of us. And I didn't even know that until recently that you're a Campbell River. We also got Javico, and then there's another gentleman, Dave the Rave Swift. And that's the only ones I can remember. Like, I'm born 83. I left here in 01 to go train. But that's the group right now. There's four. We got Nolan, James, and Sayward. So it's kind of cool that the island is producing more and more wrestlers.
Yeah, I think that's really cool, because like for a long time, like you say, like if you consider it, like there's not a lot of like former WWE superstars from like Vancouver Island. Like the only person I can think of right now that's like actively in the WWE and is from Vancouver Island is Chelsea Green.
You're right on that. Yep.
Is there anyone else you can think of? I heard rumors that Roddy Piper had family in Campbell River.
He does have family in Campbell River, but I'm not sure if he lived here very often. Also, Becky Lynch has family or a grandmother or something like that, who also lived in Campbell River. So she was out here a couple times as well.
Solid. Yeah, no, I remember hearing stories, I think from guys at VIPW who were like, oh, yeah, I was hanging out in the gym and Roddy Piper approached me. I was like, oh well, that's pretty fucking cool.
Like, yeah, that was a sweet story for Nolan, working out and meeting Piper and getting to share a lot of time with them and just sit under that branch of knowledge.
It's got to be, like, just incredible. Like, my favorite wrestler from the 80s is Roddy Piper, hands down. Like, one of the greatest wrestling promos of all time.
100%.
Just when you think solid. You got all the answers, I changed the questions.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
No, and it was great to have a segment, too.
Like the Piper's
Pit? Yeah, just have his own segment, so it set him apart. He got that mic time, and he really utilized it and got all the angles over.
Yeah, 100%. Just as far as your actual wrestling career goes, when did you start training? Who trained you? And can you give us a little bit of a background on yourself?
Sure. I started training in August of 2001. I moved out to Ontario. Elite Habanero, who's also from Campbell River, I should have remembered that. He moved out there before me, 1 year before me. Graduated, moved there to the Hart Brothers Pro Wrestling School. And
in Ontario?
It's definitely, yes, it's definitely, it was Smith Hart's endeavor with Ike Shaw and Waldo Von Erich. Those guys own the school. And there's a whole bunch of negativity around it because they're kind of shysters, but Ike was a shyster. Smith was a great guy. But when I got there, Smith's very cool. But I trained with Juan Ortiz, Sid Summers at the main part. And then Johnny Canine or Bruiser Bedlam, he came in every Thursday with me. And then I had Carl LeDuc after that and learned a ton from him, as well as Geza Coleman Jr. He really helped me out with just polishing me. So, but my main trainers were Sid Summers and Juan Ortiz.
Nice. So, like, you got a pretty good education then, for sure.
Big time. We learned our fundamentals very well, I think. And now that I teach people, I feel like I'm just kind of continuing their lineage and with a little bit of this era as well. So it's pretty cool to be part of that lineage.
Yeah, that's another thing we should touch on. You actually are a wrestling trainer, and do you not have a school in both Victoria and one in Campbell River as well?
Right now, we're not doing nothing in Campbell River. It's just we don't got enough people right now. Oh, so okay. We are, we'll probably come back here, but right now my main focus is in Victoria, and we're at the Victoria Martial Arts on Bay Street there. So if anyone's interested, get in touch with me. But we got 100%. About 7-8 guys there right now, and we really work on the fundamentals and the basics, because if you have that, you can go out and you can wrestle and you're going to learn in the matches. So it's just getting you ready to get into those matches so then you can go learn even more on the road.
Yeah, 100%. Like I can definitely like relate to that. A lot of what I've learned in wrestling, I've learned from being in actual matches. Like, for sure. My training was somewhat cut short because I was trained by Andrew Hawk out here in Alberta, and basically the ring was set up in his backyard, and it is Alberta. So at a certain part of the year, it starts to snow. Yep. And at that point, not Hawk nor I nor Gunnar or any of the other students really were too amped to wrestle in the snow. It wouldn't be safe. It would be too slippery and stuff. So we ended up having to stop, and then Hawks moved back to Newfoundland. But kind of at this point, I had like enough skills that I could be like a major jobber. So anyway, I started just doing a lot of like small little town job matches and stuff. And then eventually I started training with Michael Richard Blaze and Tex Gaines at Force Pro Wrestling. And after that, then my career started to take a little bit of a upturn, and I started to get like a bit of a more featured role on the show and stuff and whatnot. And that was pretty cool. But like you say, like the only way you can learn to work in front of a crowd is by working in front of a crowd. Like
100%.
There's like, I love going and training and just like being amongst the boys and, you know, rolling around and bumping and having a good time. But what the learning experiences comes from doing a match, then sitting back and watching the match and going, okay, I fucked that up. I could do that well, like better. I should have given that more time. Like, you know, all kinds of stuff like that, you know. And then also like notice, that worked. And
I was going to say, if you have those basics.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you really have those basics down and then you go and do it, that's exactly what you're going to do. You watch the tape back, or one of your peers or mentors are going to come and say, hey, we got to change this up. And then you're going to have another match and you're going to see how it works out that way. And it's just, I think training is awesome because you get to learn those basics. They're drilled into your head, so you don't forget them. It's just muscle memory at that point. And then you can try things that you saw out at the matches, you're like, okay, I want to try and work this, or maybe work on a combination, or just a spot, or just a way to sell around a ring. So I really think it's great to always be in a ring.
Yeah, yeah. With COVID happening right now, it's all sort of been put on this on a downturn. But our champion, Heavy Metal, he actually just opened up his own wrestling school, which also he opened like days before COVID hit is when he announced it, right? So the poor guy is now paying rent to keep his ring in the wrestling school there. But luckily, he's found a way to still bring in some money, and that's by putting on a weekly seminar. So I've been going down there and checking out every seminar that he puts on. But every time, I'm always bugging him. I'm like, hey, when are we going to be able to actually train? And, you know,
yeah.
It's like, oh, when phase three kicks in, brother. And it's like, oh, come on now. I really want to wrestle, you know?
100%. And you got to think, I've been wrestling for just under 19 years now. I've never had this much of a gap of 2 months of no shows or no training. So it's pretty crazy to think that the world's kind of shut down for this time while everyone's going through the process. But for wrestling, I just can't wait to get back in there and maybe not take it for granted like I sometimes might have.
Yeah. And I mean, that's another thing too, is like, I'm really hoping that the training center is open before we start actually running shows and stuff too, because the ring rust is going to be pretty bad. Oh boy.
It'll be fun though, because everyone's going to be going as fast and as hard as they can, and they're going to have to slow down, and just it's going to be awesome. Everyone just wants to wrestle now, and wrestling's so amazing right now. It's just so much talent out there. And just to see everyone getting better and better and better is amazing. And the quality of shows is just fantastic. Like, not that they weren't 25 years ago, but they're just very entertaining right now, in my opinion. And I think we're just going to keep really setting the bar year after year, even higher in the world of pro wrestling right now.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely like the athleticism and stuff is just like, it blows my mind. Like, there's things like when I was a kid in like, you know, in 2001, like when I was a teenager or whatever, like those matches I thought were incredible. And now you watch it today and it's like guys do all kinds of crazy stuff, like the sort of stuff you wouldn't even ever think of doing.
A lot of those 2001 matches are fantastic, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like that era of wrestling was so good. Like, even just before that, every era has been really good. There's always been really good core groups of guys that have such great matches. And I'm not saying, like, I can't flip and flop and go crazy. I love that they can do that, but I love the stories people can tell now. And, like, just creating that emotion is awesome.
Yeah, and I think, like, with it being the more modern day and stuff, like, it kind of opens it up. Like people are a little more receptive to like outside the box stuff, right? Like Orange Cassidy and yep. Joey Ryan, you know?
My trainers would beat my ass if I did that back in the day. But now they even see it. They're like, well, wrestling's changed. So that's what this is now. So it's just adapting different ways and styles. And it's all about entertaining those people who pay to come see us wrestle.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even I wrestle as the Canadian Goose, you know, so yep. It's a gimmick through and through. What aspect of professional wrestling, did you find the most challenging to pick up and whatnot?
Just the basics at the beginning, like the proper feeding for like headlock takeovers and the positioning to be in to do and receive arm drags, and just the really basic stuff was hard at the beginning because I just didn't understand. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. I had to clear my mind and just listen to the trainers and really work hard with them. And then I really accomplished the basics a lot. That's my best part right now is the basics. So I think it took me a long time to get them, but then I got them and I definitely use them all the time.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, and I can definitely relate to that. Like the actual like athletical mechanics of it is been the part that I struggle with the most. What about like the performance aspects, like doing a promo and your character work and stuff? How have you found navigating that aspect of professional wrestling?
I think having a manager at the beginning really helped me, because I could just go out and focus on wrestling. And then, you know, seeing how he was working that crowd, I'm like, I want to get some of that going as well, so that if a booker is in the back and they can't watch my match, I want to make sure that they hear noise in my match. So I was always about making sure the crowd was interacting with myself or my manager, or cheering my opponent. So it was always about getting that crowd involved. And it came pretty naturally, just being the bad guy and trying to really, really get people to hate me. And then after years and years and years of people seeing me in certain areas, it turned me the other way. And as well, coming back to my hometown here in Campbell River, now people are cheering me, and I can still kind of be that that bad guy character, but I'm breaking rules a little bit, but I can still do that and get cheers now and just bring the crowd in that way. And yes, we know I'm doing it wrong, but this is great because I'm getting this bad guy back, kind of thing. So the promos and the storytelling, like, I love that a lot. I love doing promos. I hate doing them, like, just at your house or something like that, unless you really get into them and commit to them. But on a show day or in the back when you got the lights on, then I'm always go.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things where, like, everybody has, like, a certain level of just, like, self... I don't know how to describe it, like, nervousness and stuff. And I do find, if you're backstage in the locker room, it's easier to turn on a camera and, like, perform in front of people. Even if your promo or whatever is just, you know, it's just you standing in front of a backdrop talking. Well, there's probably a bunch of guys standing around, and then you can go, oh, hey, was that all right or whatever? Like, it's I've done it from my house, but I find it's always, like, kind of awkward. But at the same time, like, a lot of fun, you know. Like, I was have you been keeping up with the Big West, the promo battle show thing they've been doing, the Tuesday night?
I see some of it, but I haven't been following it religiously. No.
No. Has there been any kind of outstretch from the 365 wrestling to do anything like that?
Not really a promo wise. We've thought about doing a watch along with some of the wrestlers and having people be able to join in with us and communicate with us and talk and watch the match, and maybe have the two guys in the match talking about it while it's going on. But right now we're really just trying to push out the Weekly Whisper, which is our weekly newsletter type thing, but it's done in a video form by Elian Habanero. And he kind of tells you what's happening in 365. And then also just releasing all the old stuff. So that's how we're trying to keep with people right now. But I think the Big West thing's pretty awesome, just because they got all these people committed and they got a weekly something going and people are engaged. So I think it's great that way. And I wanted to kind of go back for one second. One of the cool things when VIPW has Shaw TV tapings, they do interviews before the doors open. And we all get to watch everyone do promos, and everyone wants to knock it out on that one take, or they want to have the best promo. So everyone's really fired up. And even though you might be nervous, everyone's just giving their best stuff there. And that's one of my favorite places to do promos, is when we have the Shaw TV cameras rolling.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I just had an interview with BJ Laredo, which will likely air the week before this one, maybe 2 weeks before this one. But he was putting over that VIPW on Shaw stuff. And I went back and checked some of it out on YouTube, and it's really fantastic. And like, the production value is amazing. Like, it looks professional, completely legit. Like you say, there's a promo and then a match and then a promo and a match. I've seen like two or three episodes, and so far they've all been like really, really top notch, good stuff there.
100%.
Has that like, out here in Alberta, there's a little bit of a line in the sand when it comes to wrestling. Like, for instance, like I say, I wrestle for Real Canadian Wrestling, but we also have the Prairie Wrestling Alliance, and we have Monster Pro Wrestling. And there's kind of a line in the sand there where, okay, if you wrestle for RCW in Edmonton and Calgary, then you don't wrestle for PWA in Edmonton and Calgary. And from everything I hear, that's completely like not a thing in BC. Pretty much you can just wrestle wherever you want. Like,
yeah, it is very open, and the promoters are all very chill about everything, and everyone gets along here very well, or like to the best I think promotions could get along with each other. So it's kind of different from how Ontario used to be. I think things are opening up now. Like, there's certain people working for a couple companies in the same town, but it's still a little bit, we'll see how it is. But out here in BC, it just seems like everyone just wrestles wherever they can wrestle.
And is that the way you prefer it? Like, as the promoter, like, you have to have a different point of view on that than some of the wrestlers.
Yeah, it's tough sometimes, but I get, if a wrestler has to go wrestle for another company that is running in the same town as me, it's not something I enjoy or like, but if it does better for them, then I guess they have to do it, right? So I understand from the wrestling point, and then from my point, as long as, like, if my champ's going to another company in the same town, it's tough to see them be the first match jobbing out or something like that. So I always tell people, like, you gotta do whatever you gotta do. I do whatever I gotta do. But it's opening up way more than it used to be, I think. And we're all trying to work together nowadays.
Yeah, and I mean, like, we just spent some time talking about how working in front of crowds gets you to be better wrestler, right?
For sure.
And so if you're a promoter and you've got these wrestlers under you that are on your shows and stuff, I mean, there's an advantage to them going and also working other shows for other people, because they're getting in front of other eyes, and they're doing more shows and they're getting more experience. And then they bring that experience and what they've learned and trained for to your show. And that in turn helps bring make your show better. And then with your show being better, hopefully that brings in more fans. The more fans that are there, the more money that's made, the more the boys can be paid, and the more you can put back into the production and buy things like new belts and new ring aprons and new ring mats or ropes or whatever it is that you may need for your promotion, you know?
For sure. It's all about trying to do better and do bigger and grow. So that's my whole thing. I try not to worry about anyone else's stuff, really. I worry about 365 stuff, and I'll hear about everyone's stuff. I may have an opinion, but I'm not going to share with anyone other than my like inner circle, really. And I just try and have good shows and make sure the people will come and are entertained. And then when I'm on a show, I try and give my best so that people remember my match and really give the promoters what they wanted from me. And wrestling's amazing. So I'm not going to try and make it a bad day for anybody. I just want to have fun. I want to make sure everyone else is having fun, and just keep doing it.
Yeah, no, I think that's incredibly important. There's nothing worse than like a locker room curmudgeon, you know. It can be so just draining. It's like, I do this, it hurts a lot, but like, it's like fun and rewarding, and I'm here to have a good time. So like, if you're just here to be negative, like, why don't you fuck off? You know?
Yep. It's true. You want to have fun, man. It's why we're doing it. It's not about it's my main source of income, but it's also like, it's my main thing to interact with people and have fun. And it's my every weekend when I'm wrestling, or it's my putting on shows every week, I'm trying to work towards that weekend. So if I'm going to work so hard at trying to put something together, and I'm going to have fun doing it, I don't want to be miserable.
Yeah, no, I think that's incredibly, incredibly important, because the fans can tell too. Like, if you're out there to have fun and entertain people, those people, they can tell, and they're going to appreciate you for it, you know?
100%. I agree.
I was going to say, you've been in the business now since like 2001. That's a very long time. You've promoted shows. You've been wrestling on, I'm assuming you've done, like you say, you've done ECCW, a bunch of different promotions in BC. You must have had the opportunity to work with one or two big name wrestling stars. Can you give us any of your good experiences working with somebody that maybe everyone's heard of?
I got to work with a lot of people lately, or out of my career, One of the fun ones was with Samoa Joe.
Oh,
just because he was coming back off injury, and I didn't know how much he was going to want to do. And I think TNA had a pay-per-view that Sunday, so I was like, we'll see how much this guy wants to do. And then we went out there and had a lot of fun, and a lot of it was on the fly. And just to have chemistry with somebody like that was really, really fun. And then I always got to put over Steve Corino. He's just amazing talent, and I loved working him a lot as well.
Oh, yeah. Did you work with him in ECCW back in, like, 2001?
No, I worked with him in PWA and then Union Wrestling in Ontario mainly.
Oh, okay. I remember they had a show at the Esquimalt High School there one time for ECCW. This would have been, like, 2001 around there, and they brought in not Tommy Dreamer. I think he had been there too, but this particular time was Steve Corino and Sabu, and I went to the show. It was pretty cool. I got to meet Steve Corino, and I was completely broke, so I had an awkward exchange with him where I was like, "Oh, how much for a pitcher?" And I think he told me the price, and I was like, "Oh, can you just sign my program, please?"
Nice. Well, he's such a nice guy. He'd do it, not judge at all. He's just a fantastic human being, and it's great that he went to the Fed and started producing and stuff like that as well. So it's just seeing good guys do good things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Steve Corino's a wealth of knowledge. Not only is he, like, in the Performance Center, but he put a lot of work in at Ring of Honor. And, yep. You know, even, like, I'm sure he's a benefit to any locker room that he's in. Can you tell us any of the other guys besides yourself who's a trainer, but, like, anyone else who is, like, a indisputable asset to the 365 wrestling? Like, is there anyone that helps your young talent so much that it's just like would be a shame not to mention them on the podcast here?
Well, I think the guys I mentioned who help run it, Eazy-E, Eric Kearney, is one of my students, and he holds the back together with Lenny Lilock, and he's always out there busting his ass. He's having great matches, and he's taking care of my business as well, so he does a ton for me. And then Jeff Black was my partner in the early PWA days for a couple of years, him and Joey Hallam. And we just didn't work good business-wise together. So instead of having a huge fallout, I just kept doing my thing. And they wrestled for me, and they still help out to this day. So those guys, just Joey Allen's always there helping out with that ring, even though he's been wrestling for 15 years now. So there's so many people. And then on the island, it's Nolan James is always helping out like crazy, and Javico is helping out like crazy, and all the students. And then if I wanted to phone the Von Slashers or BJ or any other island wrestler or even mainline wrestler, and I really need some, they're always going to help out. Like, everyone's so good and chill and wanting everything to get better that they'll help you in a heartbeat.
Yeah. It sounds like it's a real tight knit, like, family style community out there.
Oh, man. It's really, when I moved back here in 2013, I wasn't sure how it was going to be. I felt like I was doing pretty good things in Ontario, and I was happy with where I was at. And then I came back here. I'm like, all right, well, maybe I'll just start working and try and work with the young guys and try and get them better. But I did that. I still do that. But VIPW really put a lot into me, and they wanted to work me in main events and big stuff out here too. So I got to continue kind of having these big matches, and now I'm doing ECCW and getting to do their ballroom brawls and stuff like that. So it's just awesome to get to keep on progressing and keep trying to have top matches.
Yeah. Those ballroom brawl shows look amazing. Like
100%. They're fantastic.
One of my biggest regrets was, I actually had tickets to go to the first ever ECCW Ballroom Brawl. I was supposed to go to it, but, like, earlier that day, my fiance, who had bought me the tickets, and I, like, broke up. And so it just didn't happen. And then I, like, saw the videos on the show, because there was some crazy stuff, like balcony dives and people having, like, TLC matches and just like some awesome stuff that I would have loved to have seen. I totally regret not getting out there to see that stuff. But yeah, like the ballroom brawl is kind of like, in my mind, sort of the WrestleMania of Vancouver wrestling. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. I believe that. I've only started since the 10th one, but I've had some fantastic matches and got to wrestle some really great talent in the last four or five of them.
Yeah. Have you had any opportunity to wrestle out here in Alberta?
I have only wrestled in Alberta when I was doing CWF for Ernie Todd. We did a couple of reservations, but I was only out there for maybe 4 days.
Okay. Is CWF, is that Canadian Wrestling Federation?
Yes. It's the one that tours all around through the First Nations reserves and stuff like that, and do a lot of those shows.
Oh, okay. Have you done any of the Northern Death tours?
We didn't go too north on the one I went on, no. It was a winter tour, but we weren't crossing any lakes or anything. It was just certain towns, and it was a really short one. It was only maybe 15 days. It wasn't like some of them are like a whole month or 8 weeks or something like that. So I haven't done any of those ones up north.
No. Oh, okay.
Hello, friends, family, and wrestling fans. Pardon the interruption, but this is Spencer Love, your host of Conversations with Love, right here on the WCSN. Join me twice a week as I sit down for a one-on-one conversation with some of the best of the professional wrestling scene. Tune in every Wednesday and Friday right here on the Win Column Sports Network. Now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Can you talk about like you do wrestle in, or you've had shows in Ontario and stuff. What's it like for your company and stuff, like when Danny Duggan brings the CWE through town? Is that something that you have any feelings about?
He's not come through any of the towns I've run. He's doing tremendous to be able to have that many shows in that many nights. That's a pretty amazing feat. And it's great for the guys who are working those shows. I'm blown away by how doing 40 shows in 40 nights, that's a pretty big thing. So we've never, Danny worked on some of my shows when he was much younger, but I haven't had to interact with him with any shows in towns that I run or anything like that.
Yeah, I like working on his shows. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I've only ever announced on his shows, because before I was a wrestler, I was an announcer, right? Like the ring announcer.
Everybody has to go through steps, right?
Yeah.
You're either a ring announcer, or you're doing music, like you said, at BIPW, or you're refereeing. There's so many jobs to pro wrestling before you actually get to be a pro wrestler nowadays, it seems. When I trained, it was training, then right into wrestling. But as a promoter, as just trying to help on a show, we've all reffed, we've all done sound, we've all had to ring announce. And it's pretty cool because we use all these tools to become a better wrestler.
100%. Like we were talking about promos earlier, right? And anytime they give me a microphone and say, "Hey, Kyle, go do a promo," it's like rad, awesome. Like, I'm gonna have fun doing this. And I spent 2 years as the ring announcer, so I have, like, I'm not uncomfortable with a microphone in my hand, you know. I revel in it, and it gives me an opportunity to stand out in a way that's gonna make me stand out differently than the other wrestlers, you know. Like, there's not a lot of point in me trying to be like the most flippy dippy athletic wrestler on the card. It's just not gonna happen. But, you know, I'm pretty sure I can talk well, you know.
For sure. And is that what got you doing this podcast? Because I'm also trying to work 365. We're trying to do podcasts a lot. We've done about 80 this year so far. We want to get a lot more done. But, like, what got you into the podcast world?
The podcasting did come about while I was ring announcing. Basically, I had been ring announcing on shows for probably about a year at that point. And, like, I made a lot of friends in wrestling, like, in the locker room, you know? Like, and I was like, there's not really anyone that's doing, like, interviews with different guys here on this local level. And it would be a good opportunity to make myself relevant. And a good opportunity to give others a chance to talk and hear some cool stories from other people, right? So I also, like, I have Asperger syndrome, which is kind of like autism. Yep. And so, like, talking to other people and stuff can sometimes be a challenging thing for me to do. And I just, you know, I figured it would help. It would help communication skills and whatnot. And yeah, the podcasting has been really great, and definitely appreciate everybody that helped me get into it, like the guys at Backbreaker Media and Wing Column Sports. Like, without them, it wouldn't be possible, because like I can sit here and talk to you all day, but like when it comes to the editing and like putting in the commercials and like the advertising and stuff, like that's the part of it that I find to be challenging. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But like podcasts are so cool too, because anyone, like, I mean, I don't want to like sully the waters here and make it just like an influx of podcasts, but anyone can do a podcast. It's real easy to figure out, you know. I was telling you before I started this, I use a Rock Band microphone, like,
exactly,
that I bought with my Xbox. I connect it to my computer, and then I call a guy up and we talk for an hour, and boom, I have a podcast in the bank, you know. It's easy, and anyone can do it, and I just don't see any reason not to, you know.
That's the big reason we're doing it. It's just to get more people involved and hearing more stories and teaching some of the fans about some of our wrestlers, so then they're more invested in them too. And for me, I don't like doing I hate being the host of a 365 Pro Wrestling podcast, but I can do it. I have the time. And I know what kind of stories and whatnot through most of the wrestlers who I talk to. So it's been challenging as well, just like you're saying, I don't talk well. I'm not your normal guy in that way. But it's a lot of fun to hear their stories, though. And then for people to hear them is awesome. And anyone can do it. And if anyone wants to do it, you just got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, just do it. Like, and that applies to a lot of wrestling stuff. Like
100%.
Like, there's been times where it's like, oh, we're gonna learn this new move, and you're like, oh my god, like, ow, like this is, you know. But no, like, just do it and commit and do it, and then you'll figure out, oh, it's not so bad. Like, you know, I had to, I learned how to do a moonsault, and that was really, really daunting, like really daunting, because you're like, if you fuck it up, you can. You know, it could go really, really poorly.
Well, you can land right on that head of yours, man.
Oh, yeah. And not only my head, but like I wrestled. Yes. You were talking about Smith Hart. I wrestled his son, Matt. I had a match with him. And they're like, okay. So the way the match was supposed to go down was I was going to moonsault him, pin him. And then after the 1-2-3, they would come back and be like, oh no, his foot was under the rope, and they restart the match, and then I lose, right? Yeah. It was fucked up by the ref, but the whole time I'm going, oh wait, like I have to moonsault Matt Hart, like
you gotta land on the guy.
It's like, yeah, this was the first and only time I've ever actually landed on anyone, and you know, my whole time I'm like, if my knee lands on his head or something, like Bret Hart is going to think the Canadian Goose is a total asshole.
Well, you just got to believe in yourself too, though, man. You got to be able to do it and pull it off and have confidence. And that's why we got that training, and you can practice there. And I think if you're terrified to do it, like way too scared, you never do it. But as long as you did it, you practiced it, you hit it, I'm sure it was good.
Oh yeah. It was totally fine. It actually was 100% like, I landed a little bit, like my sort of hit him with my forehead and my face, more so than my chest. But, I had him a little closer to the ropes. Cause like I say, I was worried about like landing my knees on him.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, no, the moonsault was fine. It was just like the ref buggered up the finish and whatnot, but it is what it is. And I don't hold any ill will towards them. These things happen, you know? But like you say, like Matt was totally, he was the one who was like, no, you're hitting that tonight. Like you're doing it. So
nice.
You know.
Oh, that's awesome. We always try and protect our opponents and ourselves, and stuff sometimes slips up, but as long as you're working hard and it's not on purpose, stuff happens in the ring. It's physical. This isn't something where we're not making contact. There's a lot of contact. So stuff happens. And as long as we're working hard, we're not trying to actually hurt somebody, it's always all good.
Yeah, you want to be safe for sure. You know,
100%.
That's really important. So with the wrestling school in Victoria and whatnot, how can people get a hold of you to enroll in that? I know I might have some folks out in Victoria that are listening to this.
Perfect. Everyone can go to 365prowrestling.com. That's our main website. All my contacts on there. You can also contact me on Facebook at 365prowrestling or Instagram, Twitter, 365prowrestling, or Eddie Osborne on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm on all of them. I'm pretty easy to find. If you type in Pro Wrestling School on Vancouver Island, you'll find it. If you live in Vancouver, go check out ECCW School. They got an amazing school there with some super talented coaches. So right now, BC is like looking really good with all the training we got here on the mainland and now on the island.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the coaches in ECCW, that's our Artemis Spencer and Nicole Matthews, right?
Yeah, Artie, Nicole, you got Cat Powers, you got Billy Suede, you got Tony Baroni, like so much talent and knowledge, and they work really hard with you, so that's a great school to go to. And you got Scotty Mack there, too. I'm not sure if he's training as much, but the five guys I said before, they're always in there, so.
Yeah, and who are the coaches for the 365 Wrestling School?
It's all me. It's Eddie Osborne, and then Javico helps me out quite a bit. And when Nolan James used to live or was able to get up here a little bit more, he'd help out as just kind of my second guy. But Habiko's kind of in the role with me right now.
Solid. And I mean, I think you are like, I mean, I have had a couple other people who are wrestling trainers on the show. But like, can you give us like an idea of what your curriculum looks like? Like if somebody's going to come to your wrestling school and join up, what are they in store for?
First off, you're going to do some squats, you're going to do some sit-ups, you're going to do some push-ups. You're going to run around a little bit and sweat, and then it's on to the rolls. And we're going to learn those rolls because they're what we do in every match, and some handstand bumps, some flip bumps, whatnot, face bumps. And then we're going to go right into just chain wrestling, and we're going to spend a ton of time in chain wrestling. And then we're going to work up to hitting them ropes and then working on some international spots, and then throwing in some moves there as well. But I really focus on chain wrestling and the very basics, the body slam, arm drag, drop kick, hip toss, that kind of stuff. And then once we get past that, we're going to work on just more moves and doing matches, practice matches, lots of mock matches, so that you have a little bit of a feel, because it's going to be different when you actually get out there in front of a crowd.
Yeah, that sounds pretty similar to the experiences that I've had for sure.
Yep.
You know, nice warm up, then right into those roles. And like, I like the roles because like it's a very elementary thing, but like something that's like super important for your safety. You know, not only the bumps, but like the rolling is important too. And they're cool. Like, you know, like it's cool. Like it's a cool little like. It makes you look pretty athletic when you do front rolls and stuff. Like one of my favorite things to do is when I'm making my entrance, sometimes when my knees aren't feeling like super shitty, jump over the top rope, turn around and do a front roll into the middle of the ring. Right. And raise your hands and take in the adulation. That's always a good time. And then the chain wrestling in training is one of my favorite things to work on. It's good for like positioning and whatnot, not only just for like learning to actually wrestle, but like chain wrestling is one of my favorite things, 100%.
And trying to make it entertaining. So it's not just all counters. There's some takedowns in there, and there's maybe a hip toss in it and you're back on that arm. Like you can do a whole bunch of stuff in chain wrestling. You can have a whole match in chain wrestling doing bumps and stuff without touching the ropes, as long as you keep linked up. And then you just keep it so there's back and forth. There's reversals. It's not just this hold, holding it down, keeping it down, keeping it down. As long as we're working and really trying to get out of these holds. I'm a name drop. Tyson Dukes is one of the best technical guys in all Canada. And he's really good at that in the fundamentals. And right now he's dropping a lot of knowledge on YouTube or Facebook. He's doing little videos, and they're just short little clips, but he's really explaining it, and I love him because that's the kind of wrestling I started with.
Yeah, for all the people who are actual wrestlers and whatnot, the Sim Bodhi has this Snake Pit Training yes. Center, and like if you are a wrestler, like sign up. There's videos every single day. Tyson Duke's ones are my favorites because, like, yes, they're very like short and easy to digest. Like, and he explains everything really well. Like, I would really, really love the opportunity one day to do a seminar with him or something, because he just looks like he knows his stuff really, really well.
He's been wrestling a long time and doing it at a high level, so.
And you are like, does. I've been, like I say, I've got like the next 10 weeks worth of podcasts already like banked up. And so you are like probably the eighth or ninth person to tell me, oh yeah, Tyson Dukes is amazing. So 100%. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And that's cool that like you were able to describe the whole thing there. So, do you have any other like good road stories or anything that we can hit on here before we call it a day, brother?
Good road stories. They're always good. Every time you're on the road, it's a good time. I know Fox was driving me around a long time ago. She was the driver, and I couldn't drive back. Neither could Jesse Jones, and she was getting hot about it, and I think I maybe probably drank or something. But that night, we wrestled one of the Doinks, and I got pied, and I thought I washed my face good. But I apparently not good enough, because we're driving back and I pass out, and that's like, you can't do that. You're not supposed to do that. When you're riding the car, you stay up, and Fox is hot. And then I woke up, I couldn't open up my eyes though, because they crusted over from the damn pie spot earlier in the night. And so she got a little bit of revenge laughing at me as I'm like, I can't see, I can't open my eyes. So that was a fun time. And then a lot of times for VIPW, when Crofton's around, I travel with him as well, or like Javico. So we just have a lot of good times together, but nothing in like, to throw out there at you right now on the spot.
Yeah, I could. Sometimes the riding to the show and just riding back afterwards can be some of the like best parts of doing a show. I mean,
100%.
I remember a time with Cameron Stevens and Jordan Aries. We were driving home back from Edmonton. They lived in Calgary. I lived in Red Deer. So they dropped me off halfway through. But we got in the car. I got in the car there, and they had music on from WWE. They were listening to it on Spotify. And so we rolled down all the windows and cranked Scott Steiner's music.
Oh, wow.
It was Scott Steiner's. So other cars are like trying to pull over because yep. they hear the sirens and shit. Oh, so Man. Good. Later on, we are driving down the highway, and we get pulled over by the police. And as the cop is approaching the car, they hit the big boss man's entrance music.
Oh, man.
Gotta have some fun. Poor fun. Jordan got us fined that day for sure.
Jeez. No. Good times, though. Like, it's what it's all about. It's having great times. And when I go to the mainland for any shows, or if I'm up or down island for any shows, I usually stay the night too. So there's always that adventure. It's always those good times. When I'm back in Ontario, all the boys are there. So we're always going out. We're having great times and enjoying the wobbly pops. And so yeah. I love wrestling. I'm glad you're doing this, and thank you for having me on today. I really appreciate it, and spreading my brand out and getting people to know a little bit more about 365 Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, 100%. And I will be letting my buddies know about your wrestling school there. I know my friend Bryce the Slammer Sova just moved to Vancouver Island. I found that out.
I just got a message from him yesterday saying he's in Courtney.
I told him to message you because we did the Johnny Devine seminar at the Top Talent yep. Wrestling School, and he was on, and he just mentioned, oh, I'm in Vancouver Island now, and oh, I was like, oh, I just heard from BJ Laredo that they have a wrestling school over there. So nice. Courtney to Victoria is a bit of a ways, but hopefully Bryce can get the opportunity to get down to your school and do some roles and bump into himself. But that'll also be very helpful to your other students because, you know, Bryce has been 100%. Wrestling for like 20 years too. So,
yep.
Yeah. So look forward to that out on the Vancouver Island there, guys. And Eddie, I want to thank you again for coming on the show. I really appreciate you and all the other BC guys that have come on. It's been really cool. And hopefully one day we'll be able to team up or face off in the ring. It'll be a good time.
Let's get you down here in Campbell River, man. Thanks so much. You take 100%. Care.
You talk to you later, bro. Thank you. Rounds of all my friends and me. Just take a little piece of PEI and old Saskatchewan, Nova Scotia. And